Amen. So today we're going to talk about something that I know we can all learn some things from the Word of God. If you come into the house of the Lord, you can learn. And so I want to talk to you today on this thought of looking for something that is not in your heart. Looking for something that is not in your heart. How many of you have ever lost, a set of keys or something that was, you know, other than, you know, a piece of candy, but a set of keys that you had to have, amen. So he said, so Roberta's got Doc Russell's hand up in the air. So. And so you find yourself without those keys, and you say, where are they? Because you need them, you got to get in or whatever in a building, and you have those keys, and you start thinking in your mind, where is the last place I had those? Where? And you start tracing, I went here and here. And so you try to get that mapped out in your mind of where you may have lost those keys or dropped them off. And so you start retracing your steps back through the process. When I know I picked them up off the counter, and I put them in my pocket, and so you're doing exactly, no, they're not in my pocket. And then I went by the refrigerator, which I normally do before I leave the house. And so I went by the, did I put them in the door, you know? And so you trace, and then you get to a point where you realize, now I know I didn't have them at this point. So in your mind, you say, there's no need looking past here because I didn't have them. This is where I realized I did not have my keys. But we keep looking anyway in that spot where we know we didn't have those keys. But we'll go and we'll keep looking. And you know what happens? The more you look in the places that you know you shouldn't be looking, the more frustrated you get. And you're just, it just keeps on building up and building up. And you know you ought not be looking there. And then you get a hold of your spouse. Come on, men. You get a hold of your spouse, your wife, and you say, honey, I've lost my keys. What did you do with them? Yeah. Y'all don't do that at y'all's house, do you? Or y'all just not saying it. Honey, where did you put my, have you seen my keys? No, what did you do with them? Well, I had them when I was here. Well, when did you, and my wife, she's sharp, boy. She says, well, when did you realize you didn't have them? Well, when I got to the shop or I got to the church and I needed to get in, I didn't have my keys. Then she says, well, they're probably somewhere between there and the church or there. And your frustration level just goes, woof, or something like that frustration. It's other words too, but anyway. And so, but we continue to look for things when we know they're not in that place. And I want to talk to you about God's plan for your life. When you're looking for something, when you know you ought not be looking in that direction. When you know that's not where you're supposed, it's not in your heart. But you keep searching that hope, and God's going to change his mind and show up because you want to do something. Show up in your life because that's what you want to do. It's not what he wants to do. Come on. So watch this. So if you have your Bibles, you can be finding the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 9. That's Old Testament over there. You know that book over there? You don't read that much way over there. So open the Bible, let it fall right in the middle and go to the left. And what are we learning in our starting point class? If you can't find it, don't act like you know where it is. Just go to the front of the book, look it up. It's got the page number and everything. Get right there. You know, don't be holy. Just, right there it is. You know why they have that there? So you can look up the book. It's simple. So don't be ashamed to use it. They put it in there because there's a bunch of people, like everybody, needs that. So amen. So in 1 Samuel chapter 9, I want to talk to you about four things today, four areas, and four things to be that you must do when you're looking for what God wants you to do. There's four areas. Number one, I'm going to just list them and then we'll talk about them. Number one, you got to be willing. If you're taking notes, you got to be willing when you're looking for what God wants you to do. You got to be willing. You can't give up. Number three, you can't make excuses. and you got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Number one, you got to be willing. Number two, you can't give up. Number three, don't make excuses. And then number four, you got to listen to the Holy Spirit. 1 Samuel chapter 9, starting at verse 3. Now, what has happened, there's this guy, he's got this awesome name that you probably know a bunch of people name this. His name's Kish. Now, I know I got some relatives named Kisha, but not Kish, okay? And so this guy was named Kish. Kish was a prominent guy in the community. Kish was also the father of what would be known to come to know as King Saul, the first king. So it's Saul's father. And we pick up the story in verse 3. It says, "Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost." They got out of the pen. Amen. "And Kish said to his son Saul, 'Please take one of the servants with you and arise and go look for the donkeys.'" Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 5. We're going to be in Samuel for the most part, so just kind of stay out with me right there. Says this, "When they had come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant who was with him, 'Let us return, lest my father cease caring about the donkeys and become worried about us.'" So if you go back to verse 3, you're going to find point number one. Point number one is be willing. Kish asked Saul to go look for the donkeys. He knew he'd lost the donkeys. They weren't there in the corral. And so he said, "Son, I'm going to need you to go get these donkeys," probably a prize donkey. I don't know what a prize donkey looks like. I've never owned a donkey. Now, my father has a few donkeys. They got some good traits, but they're just donkeys. I can look at one donkey and another and say, My dad said, "Well, that's a good donkey right there. But he looks just like the other one." "Oh, yeah, but this is a donkey right here. This is a good donkey." What do you do, measure the ears? I don't know. But these donkeys were valuable to Saul's father, Kish. So valuable that he sent his son to go look for the donkey. He didn't just anybody. He sent his son to go look for these donkeys. So the first thing you got to do when you go and look for something that God has for you is you got to be willing. Saul, if you read the story, he did not put up a fuss. He said, "Okay, well, let's just go do that." So the first thing you got to do is you got to be willing. You know, that's the hardest step for most people when they're stepping out for God is willingness. Because you think, and I think, that God's going to have us do something we don't want to do. Probably. Matter of fact, I could say about 99.999% of the time it is, because if it's something you want to do, you'd already be doing it. And so if God's pulling you to do something that you're not already doing, guess what? It's probably something against your human nature. Something that you don't really want to do. You don't really feel comfortable about doing. Amen? So number one, you got to be willing. Number two, as we read in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 5, it says, "When they had come to this land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant who was with him, 'Come, let us return, unless my father ceases caring about the donkeys and become worried about us.'" See, Saul had grown weary after about 3 or 4 days that they didn't find these donkeys. You got to read the story, read the whole thing. They didn't find these donkeys, and Saul saying, "You know, they're probably no use." How many of you get doing something, Lord, do you feel like the Lord's really called you? Praise God, He has called you. He's pumped you up, and boy, He's been to pull you, been to go out. And then you get off in the middle of ministry where it's not that fun. You get past the part of everybody said, "Man, that's so great. You're going to do great. Boy, you're doing good." And then you get into that lull. That place in ministry where you feel like you're all alone. That place when you're following God and you felt like He's left you. You felt like, "Well, maybe I miss God. I really didn't want to do this anyway." And you start making excuses. And Saul begins to make excuses to a servant and says, "You know what? Daddy probably worried about me. He's probably quit worrying about them donkeys. And now he's going to worry about me. And, you know, I need to get on back. So why don't we just pack up and we'll tell Dad that the wolves or something got him. I don't know what we're going to tell him. But, look, he's worried about it. Let's go." Thank God for people around old Saul. They said, "No, I got a different plan." And that's a different message. I want to stick to this today. But you got to be willing, and you can't make excuses. Because we're, as humans, we're bad about making excuses why we can't do something for the Lord. Well, that's awful early. Be at church at 10 o'clock. Pray how many times a day? We're going to pray every day? It gets tough. It's when you're all by yourself and things come at you and life's hitting you and you're arguing with your wife or your husband and you're arguing with your kids and this ain't going right and you don't like your boss and all those things are going on. And you know when you want to make it, you say, I'm just going to quit. If y'all don't appreciate me tomorrow night, I'll just quit. I'll just say, hey, if y'all can do it, you can do it by yourself. But it's in those moments when it's very hard to say, well, let me see what the Lord says about this. To get on our knees and really say, now, Lord, I know how I feel about this situation. Lord, I've been searching. I've been looking for you. And, Lord, I was willing to come out of it. But, Lord, I feel all by myself. I feel all alone. Do you know it's okay for you to talk to God like that? It's okay for you to tell God exactly how you feel on the inside? Because he already knows. You're not telling me that he don't know. And so you go to him and say, Lord, I just don't feel like I want to do this anymore. Lord, I don't know if this is really what you call me to do. And I need clarity. I need confirmation that this is what you want me to do. But most of the time, we've already got our minds made up. We don't want to do that. So we don't dare ask God that question because he liable to give you clarity. He just liable to drop some confirming in your spirit that exactly what you're at and where you're at in that moment is exactly where he has you. But that's hard to get a hold of because in our minds, we work our decisions most time off of our emotions and how we feel. And does it fit me? And is it really my nature? And is that my personality? Well, forget your personality. Forget your emotions. I quit every week. Well, y'all didn't know that. I quit something every week. Because I just get uncomfortable here, that, this. All this stuff comes at you. And you say, well, I'll just throw in the towel. Then the Lord says, what are you doing? Get real close to me, son, because when I hit you, I want you to feel this. No, he don't tell me that. But you got to be willing. Don't give up. You can't make excuses. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 7 says this. Then Saul said to his servant, but look, if we go, what shall we bring to the man of God? For the bread in our vessels is gone, and there is no present to bring to the man of God. What do we have? A lot of times we start making excuses on what you don't have. Well, if you already had it, God would already have you doing what you're trying to accomplish. But since you don't have it, he said, I know you don't have it. Quit making excuses for what you didn't bring to the table. I am sufficient for everything you need to accomplish what I've called you to do. But we want to make excuses. Well, you know, I'm not tall enough. I'm too short. I can't do certain things. You know, I don't have orative skills. I'm not one who teaches or preaches or talks in front of someone. It makes me nervous. Makes me nervous too. Come on. I told you the story about when I was in high school and I had enough credits to graduate. I don't know how that happened. I mean, I guess you give you extra credit for PE. But either way, I got them. And I had to come up with an elective and I chose speech class. Sometimes I don't think things all the way through. I thought we're going to get in there and write a few things. We're going to hear somebody's going to speech. Well, I just didn't realize it was going to be me that's going to be doing the speaking. Everybody in the class. And I realized that in that time frame, you could drop a class. I said, oh, that ain't for me. So what did I do? I went right up to that teacher. I said, I'm going to drop out of this class. She said, you know, there's only one other class available. I said, I don't care what it is. She said, it's home ec. That's when it wasn't cool for guys to go into home ec. You hear what I'm saying? You know what I did? I marched right on down that hallway and got right off in that home ec class is what I did. Because I was scared to death to speak in front of people. But Lord, how God does things in your lives, you know. Wasn't that bad, guys. wasn't nothing but a bunch of girls and another guy in there. So it didn't turn out too bad, amen? But I was scared, and I was making excuses. And when I got called into the ministry, I was kind of that way too. Finally, I was, that ain't me. And the Lord began, as I began to read God's word, you know what? I found there was another person that God used that didn't like to speak. Matter of fact, he even had a worse problem than I did. He had a stuttering problem. And God says, I'll use you. I'm talking about Moses. And Aaron became his mouthpiece. And look what he did. Even with his impediment, even with his physical disability, God still used him. And in the natural, you and I, if he was to interview here today and he stuttered along, you and I would say, we probably don't need him. He can't even speak very well. We don't even understand him. So you really, we're just not going to vote you in as the pastor. Come on, that's the way we would. We make excuses as to why we can't do things to God. Do you know that God looks down over heaven? When he looked down over heaven and he saw Scotty, did you know that he saw all of your imperfections just as much as he saw your perfectness? He saw all of that at the same time, and he didn't go down his checklist and say, well, you know, if the good outweighs the bad, then I'll pick him. If not, I'll get somebody else. No, he said, that's Scotty. He didn't look over your resume of qualifications. He just said, I'll use you if you're willing, period. You know that stands for everybody in this room? If you're willing, he can use you. If you're willing, he can use you. But you got to first be willing. Then you get off in the middle of it. You can't give up. Because when you start wanting to give up, that's when you start coming up with the excuses. And when you get to the excuse point, it's hard to reverse that thought process. So watch this. In 1 Samuel 9:15, I'm going to read about five or six verses. 1 Samuel 9, starting at verse 15, says, and so you get the story. They lost the donkeys. They've been out looking for the donkeys. Saul has a servant. He's making excuses why he needs to go back to daddy, because daddy's probably weeping for him. And Saul don't want to be out there, really. And this servant says, wait a minute. I know of a prophet that can tell us what our next move is. I know a prophet. Come on, you know a God that can tell you what to do. You know him. I don't have to know him for you. You know him. He's going to speak to you. He's calling you, not calling me for you. Can he reveal some things to someone to help you? Yeah, but he's calling you. You're going to know before me. You're going to know before anybody. And so this servant says, Saul, I know this prophet, and why don't we go to him? That's where the excuse came up there in verse 7. And verse 15, we pick up the story. It says, now the Lord had told Samuel, Samuel is the prophet, told Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because their cry has come to me. Verse 17. So when Samuel saw Saul. Boy, that's a mouthful. When he, S-A-W-S-A-U-L. When he saw Saul, okay? When he saw Saul, the Lord said to him, there he is, the man of whom I spoke to you. This one shall reign over my people. Now, right now, Saul has not really thinking he's going to be the king. You know why? Because there's never been a king. God's never allowed a king to be over Israel. That's probably not really in his thought process. So if he had known in the beginning, hey, I'm probably going to be king, that would have been one of those things, say, well, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard in my life. I've told God he had some dumb ideas before. And I know y'all not like me. I'm just telling you how I do it. Lord, that is a dumb idea. Do you know who you're talking to? Lord, I don't have that ability. I'm not ready for that. That's never been done, God. You ever talk to God like that? The rest of you are lying. No. Lord, I don't know how that's going to work. See, we want to figure it out. We want to know what God's next move is before we say, I'll be willing and I'll be obedient to go do it. We want to know what God has in mind for the future. Well, good luck with that. He started out with Abraham, was Abram, and he said, hey, get out of the country and I'll tell you where you're going. He just had to start out walking, just start out following, gathered up all of his stuff, picked up all of his tents and started walking. Where? I don't know. Can you imagine meeting Abram on the road somewhere, Eddie, and say, hey, where are you going? I don't know. Well, why are you going? Oh, God told me. Who's God? He was in a pagan nation. Who's God? You know, he's, you know, he's the God. Well, what God? There's a bunch of gods. They're pagans. Well, the God. Oh, okay. Come over here on this side of the road. He's nuts. Not everybody will buy into what God wants you to do. Amen. Verse 19, verse 18. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate. So Saul's coming up to the prophet in the gate of the city, and he said, please tell me, where is the seer's house? 19, Samuel says, answered Saul and said, I am the seer. The seer is another word for prophet. Okay, so before they were called prophets, they were called seers. In other words, they were prophets. They could tell you the future, okay? So that's why it's called it seer. So he says, I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today. And tomorrow I will let you go, and I will tell you all that is in your heart. Uh-oh. I will tell you all that's in your heart. But as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, don't worry about them, for they have been found. Now, I want to stop before I read the rest of it. It's interesting that Saul had on his agenda finding donkeys. But we're going to learn that Samuel, the prophet, really wasn't worried about the donkeys. The donkeys was a vehicle to get Saul in front of Samuel so he could be anointed. And he does mention, just in passing, it's like, hey, go tonight. We're going to eat at the feast. You're going to come with me. And tomorrow I'm going to tell you what's in your heart. Oh, and by the way, them donkeys you've been looking for, we found them. Amen. See, to me and you, that sounds like a good story. But Saul's been out in the desert for 3 days looking for donkeys. If I find a donkey after 3 days he's mine, I'm going to kill him. Amen. In Jesus' name. Why you run off? Amen. He's not going to be a runoff next week, okay? But to Saul, that was a big deal. Saul thinks he's out there looking for donkeys. See, sometimes that's what happens in our life. We're out there looking for donkeys, and we ought to be looking for Jesus. We're out there looking for something in the world, and we ought to be looking for Jesus. We're out there looking for everything to satisfy our needs, and we ought to be looking for, searching for the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. But we're out there looking for something that doesn't even matter. The verse goes on to say this. After he said, hey, your donkeys have been found, Samuel says this, and on whom is all, and whom is all the desire of Israel? It's a question to Saul. I know Saul's scratching his head. And then he says this, is it not on you and on your all of your father's house? I'm sure Saul's saying, what did he just say? I'm here looking for donkeys. And he's talking about something about Israel and all that house being on me. And I don't have a clue what he's talking about. Because he had his mind fixed on something else other than God. And we wonder why we struggle with finding God's will in our life. Because your mind is fixed on everything else. Will little Johnny be the best baseball player? Will little Susie be the best t-ball or soccer player? Were they going to be the prettiest in the school? Are they going to win the beauty review? We got to go get them all this stuff. Are they going to be smart? We got our minds on all this stuff, so focused on these things, and we forget, is little Johnny going to turn out to love the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind? God, what do you have for my life? God, I've been searching for you, and most of my life's just been a wreck. It's just been a train wreck, and we get it back on the track, and it wrecks again. Lord, my life is just messed up because, you know, you're on a track, running down this track, that God's not at the end of it. You need to get your mind. The Bible says that if you get your mind stayed on Isaiah 26:3, it says, get my mind stayed on Christ. Get it fixed, positioned on Christ. When we get that, guess what? All of these other things, they tend to go by the wayside. They're not as important. It's important to have funds and finance. We talked about that last week, to have finances and have things. There's nothing wrong with those things. I'll take all the things you want to give me. Amen. There's nothing wrong with those things. The Bible says this, though, in Matthew, says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then what? All this other stuff will be added to you. Now, you can read that however you want to, but I'll tell you what it says. In context, it says the things that you're going to need. He says you're going to talk about food and clothing and housing. He's talking about your stuff that you work so hard for. He says, if you seek me, you get this. And it'll be in the right proportion. It'll be in the right order in which it should come to you as long as you keep me first. See, when we fall out of God's order, that's when we want to start making excuses. Well, Lord, you know, it just ain't working out. I wanted it to, Lord, but you know my heart, Lord. And the Lord's saying, I do. He whispers to Martin and says, yeah, that's the problem. I do know your heart. Number one, quit lying when you're praying to me, because I do know your heart. Quit making excuses. What does God want to do in your life? Here's the deal. You already know it's in your heart. You already know it. But we'll go to service after service, drive mile upon mile, so we can get a word for somebody to tell us what's in your heart. If I could just go here where nobody knows me, and then they tell me, I'm going to have it. Well, that works. I've done that. Amen. That does work. I mean, I've had that happen to me. But at the same time, I don't have to get in anything most of the time. I don't have to crank my vehicle. Get in prayer with the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want to do in my life? I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to be willing. Lord, I'm not going to quit on you. I'm not going to make excuses. Lord, what do you want to do in my life? What do you want to do, God? And when you get to that point, look, I could stop there, but I got one more. I could stop there. And that would be, if you just could get those three things down right there. Oh, man. We'd have to have a new beginning class, new beginners class every night of the week. There'd be so many people come to the church. Because there's not a soul in this church that he does not want to get for you to go out and win souls. Not one person in this church is exempt. And you cannot use this excuse. Well, that's not my calling. You know, I get embarrassed when I talk about the Lord in front of somebody. Well, the altar's open. Just holler at me. I'm not embarrassed about talking to the Lord. I may not be the best. I may not have every answer, but I'm not ashamed to talk about the Lord because I know where he brought me from. He saved my soul from an eternal hell. He saved me. He set me free. He's healed me. He's delivered me of things in my life. I'm not ashamed to talk about my wife. I'm married to her. She was my bride. She's not ashamed to talk about me. She married me. Guess what? I'm a bride of Christ. I shouldn't be ashamed to talk about my bridegroom, the one I'm married to, spiritually speaking. I shouldn't be ashamed of that. What has he done for you? That's all you got to do. You don't have to know this Bible front to back. You know what you got to do when witnessing to someone? All you have to do is tell what God's done for you. That's it. What has God done for you? Amen. Praise God. I can tell you like this. Lastly, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 27, we must listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Verse 27 says this, and as they were going down to the outskirts of the city, this is so cool. This is what God would have to do to me. This lets me know that me and Saul, we on the same page. He missed the whole thing while he was there. But the prophet knew, and he says this, and as they were going down to the outskirts of the city, Samuel said to Saul, I can just see him pulling the band. Hey, Saul, have your servant go on just a minute. But you, why don't you stay right here? He says, tell your servant to go on ahead of us. And he went on, but you stand here a while that I may announce to you the word of God. See, there was a word that was specific to Saul that the servant wasn't privy to. God's got a mission. God's got a plan. God's got this great idea for your life, and you're the only one privy to it. He wants to speak it to you. He don't need to speak it to 9 people and get back to you. He wants to tell you specifically, hey, why don't you get away from the world? Why don't you stop watching TV tonight for a little while? Why don't you put the kids to bed? Why don't you tell the little honey that, look, I'm going to need you to take care of them kids. I got to hear from the Lord. The Lord wants to speak to me personally tonight. And until you get to that point where you say, you know, I'm going to let the world move on, and I'm just going to hold back just a little bit, and I'm going to get in some alone time with God. That's really what's going on here. The prophet said, guess what? I'm going to need you to separate yourself from the things that you've been doing. Come on, you've been chasing donkeys. I got another title I could have put in there, but it wasn't appropriate. Come on. I didn't read out of the King James for that reason today. Some of you going to pick up on it. You're going to go home and you're going to read the King James Version so you'll know what I'm talking about, aren't you? You're chasing your donkeys. You ought to be chasing God. You ought to be chasing some alone time. You ought to be chasing the Holy Spirit. You ought to be saying, God, what do you want to do in my life? And if I find that, if I find Him, I find my purpose. I find why I'm put here. I find that all of a sudden that I wasn't really put here to chase donkeys. All of a sudden, I find that I'm here to win souls. I'm here to disciple, make a disciple maker. Matthew 28:19. I'm here to make disciples. I'm here to be a witness for Christ, my King, my Lord, my Savior, my healer, my deliverer. Boy, it changes everything. So we got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah 29:12 says this. This is what I love about God's Word. You can always find somewhere that will support what you're talking about, what God is doing in your life. And it says, then you will call upon me. And go and pray to me. And I will listen to you. And stop right there. And the pastor will go and call upon the Lord for me. You will go and call upon the Lord. That word call means to call by name. It's like you start out and say, oh God, it's me. Then he says, you go pray. You call upon me. God, I need you. God, I've got to have you. God, I'm searching for you today. You're calling upon the God that you're getting your answer from. God, I need you. You make a petition. Honey, where are you? When I'm at home looking for those lost kids, honey, where are you at? I need you bad. I'm running late and I need my keys. God, I'm running behind schedule of what you had an appointment for me to be doing in my life at this point. Lord, I need you. God, where are you at? It's me. And what's it? He says, and when you call on me and you go and pray to me, I will listen to you. Don't ever tell me God doesn't listen. Because God listens. You know why I know? Because His Word says so. He says, if you go and you pray, you call on me, you pray, I will listen. I like that. So I'm going to help you with some of your clarity. I'm going to finish the verse in a minute. He gets better. So if you sincerely call upon the Lord and you go and pray, He says He's going to hear you. That's where we stop. We're afraid God's going to hear us and tell us to do something. if I pray and this Bible is true, which it is, and he hears me, what's he going to tell me? Let's finish the verse. And you will seek me. That means to diligently search. Like you would for those keys. You'll turn the house upside down. The baby can be squalling, needing a bottle, needing a hind end change from a diaper. And you don't care. You're after those keys. You got to seek for God that way. Seek me and you and find me. And you shall seek me and you'll find me. Doesn't that kind of blow us out of the water that I've been seeking the Lord and I can't find him? I've been diligently seeking, Pastor, but I can't find him. Something ain't right with that statement. He may have found you and told you something that you didn't want to hear, so therefore you're saying, I'm still looking for him. I'm still seeking for him. You seek me and you find me. When you search with me, for me, with all of your heart. That word heart, right, means, that means the very seat, the life, the lifeblood. That means the very center of you. That's what the heart means right there, not that thing that pumps blood. Okay? The very center of you. Take the heart out, you die. Search with me with all of your, with everything that's within me. Church, if we get back to searching for God with everything that's within us, guess what changes? Number one, you. You change. I told you the story about me praying for my wife. If you've heard it, you just say, man, that's the first time I ever heard it. That's great. I was praying for my wife a few, now it's been a month or two ago, and I was praying for my wife, and I was feeling so holy and righteous, just in the presence of the Lord, just woo-hoo, you know. Had my hand on her back, and I began to pray about her problems that I knew the Lord needed to fix. Lord, if you'd just touch her in this area, Lord, if you'd just move over here and this. And I went through my list, and I was sincere in my list. I wasn't trying to beat my wife up. I just live with her, and I know her issues like she knows mine. Come on. And I began to pray, and I was just, oh, and I just, it was just right in my spirit. It wasn't an audible voice, but I knew it was the Lord. And he whispered in my ear. Well, it wasn't one way, it was a whisper. It was really a holler. He said, when are we going to get to your list? But we're praying for her right now, Lord. Your word says for we're to pray for our brothers and sisters, right? That's what we're doing now. Come on, you can try and spiritualize everything, right? And you know, when I begin to pray for me and my list rather than my wife's list, all of a sudden I find things on her list that I thought was on her list weren't on her list. Come on. Those things that I thought that come from her, no, really, they were really coming from me. And when I began to fix me, her list got smaller. And all of a sudden, as I began to pray, my list got bigger. The Lord said, oh, while we're here, why don't we talk about this? And you know how you do an outline? You write point number one. And then you got A, B, C, and then point number two. Look, I'd go through the whole alphabet on mine on the first paragraph, first outline. And it's like, oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. But when you begin to seek with him, yes, seek God with all your heart, you find things in your life that God wants to remove and God wants to do if you'll seek him. See, if we seek him, we will find him. And when you find him, you find your purpose and your destiny for what God wants you to do right now while you're living. Not when you get to heaven. I don't know what we're going to do in heaven. You can listen to every preacher and hear all kind of stuff. What's going to be in heaven? Who you going to meet? Are you going to be married? You're not going to be married? Are there going to be dogs and cats in heaven? I don't know, nor do I care. If there's a dog, cat, or a horse in heaven. Or a donkey. You got to feed those things. I don't know how they've been in. It doesn't matter. Here's what I know. I'm going to be with my Savior forever. That's what's going to count. Not what are these other things going to be there? What are we going to do? I'm going to be with Jesus. And that is our goal, is to say, I want you to go to heaven. I want to take as many people with me to heaven as I possibly can. And it's time the church get busy because of this. The harvest is truly ready. The only problem is the laborers. They're few. Where are these laborers coming from? Well, number one, they're going to come from the lost at some point, but they're going to start within the church house. I don't want you to raise your hands. Don't do that. Matter of fact, you might want to put your head down on the question. When's the last time you won somebody to the Lord? When is the last time you led somebody to the Lord? Doesn't mean that they're at this church. You can lead somebody to the Lord way over yonder, and they may live in five states from here. It's not what I'm. When's the last time you led somebody to the Lord? Well, I don't know anybody that's not saved. You're a liar. Most of the people I know is not saved. I'm not talking about you. I know a lot of people. When are we going to get busy about the Father's business? See, you really thought I was going to give you some direction on exactly what God was going to tell you in your life. Well, I'm not a prophet. I don't know. This is what I do know about your life. God wants you to win souls and make disciples. That I do know. Without question, I do know that. There's individual callings and ministries within the church, which is another message altogether. This ministry, the preaching, teaching, prophet, evangelist, all that. That's another thing altogether. Serving in the church. Another message. But when are we going to get busy about and quit looking for the donkeys when we ought to be looking for the soul? It's about the soul. It's not about the donkey. It's about the soul. I want to challenge you today. Let's get busy about winning souls. Number one, you got to be willing. Number two, you can't give up. Number three, you can't make excuses. And number four, you got to be willing to listen to the Holy Spirit. That means, listen to me when I tell you this, and I'm going to close. I don't know if I have a pianist in here or not, but it doesn't matter. This is what I want you to know. You must, this is imperative, you must find some time during your day to get alone with the Lord. You do. I do. You must find time to get alone with the Lord. Get on your block, cut your phone off. Take you a notepad with you to your prayer time so when the Lord speaks to you, you can write something down, and you pray a while. I'm not going to tell you all the methods to pray, but I'm going to tell you when it works. You get alone with the Lord, and you get you a little notepad. You get you an index card, whatever it is, and you take you a pen, you lay it right over. Reason I don't say your phones, whatever, because they'll go off, and you'll quit praying. Take you a piece of paper. That thing ain't going to go off. It ain't going to ring. Get you a pen. Set it over to the side. And you begin to pray and you ask the Lord, Lord, whatever it is you're in, and you ask Him. And then shut up for a minute. My mom would roll over if she knew I said shut up in the church. You be quiet. You pray, Lord, I need clarity in this area. And tell the Lord what's going on. And then listen. Prayer is not just a monologue. It's a dialogue. You got to let Him speak to you sometimes. And then just sit and listen. And you know what? Sometimes he'll just drop right there. Sometimes it ain't coming right then. But when it does, just reach over there, look, and just write down. Just write down something that's going to jog your memory on what God's speaking to you about. You ain't got to write a book right then. Just write down a few words. And go back to praying. Listen. And then go back to praying. And then listen. We pray so much. We pray. We tell God everything. And then we jump up and run out. And we get busy with the cares of the world, and we wonder, what, God ain't speaking to me. I didn't hear him. We got to hear the word of the Lord. We got to listen to the Holy Spirit. So will you stand with me across this building?